Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. How are you? 你好吗？早安。
That's helpful. They brought up in a different philosophy, different worldview. So they don't believe in God. So they tend to say, Pastor Tian, if you show me God, I will believe in him. The reality is God already showed himself. How many of you know that? 2,000 years ago, God already showed himself to the whole world. But many of them, they didn't understand. They didn't know that. Because God's spirit, and unless a person sin being forgiven and born again, he cannot see God and cannot know God. Even God manifests himself. And that's start today a new series. It's Behold the Man. Today I will talk about the Lamb of God. You know, if we want to know God, we need to know God the Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we will know who God is, what God is, and how does that relate to us. When we start to want to know Jesus Christ, we start with the first point I want to share is that mankind needs redemption. It's very interesting when you go to study different civilization cultures. Somehow, people know they are sinful. When you study different civilizations, from Chinese culture, Buddhism, Hinduism, to Greek mythology and Hebrew culture, you all realize they all mention about mankind's sinfulness and the atonement for sin. Of course, with various way and means. Also, our Bible also says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, this is something that we live in the postmodernism right now. That's something in the Western society they don't like to mention. It's about sin. They don't believe the absolute standard nowadays, right? Everything is your opinion, my opinion, and the majority's opinion. Unfortunately, there is, in the spiritual realm, there's a definition of sin. There's something called sin. So even in human civilization, they know that. They need to deal with that with different way. And this morning, we will look at Hebrew way, Old Testament way, to deal with sin and deal with the effects of sin. That's my first point. In the Old Testament time, how did people deal with sin? As we read the book of Leviticus, there are two kinds of way is through the offering, the sacrifice. The first is the burnt offering. How many of you know burnt offering? This is very, in a way, very distant. We don't offer the burnt offering because we're in the new covenant right now. But we do have the offering. We do have the sacrifice today. It's Jesus. So I will reach there. So bear with me. Let me read some information here. The burnt offering was the most ancient religious ritual in the human history. The purpose was to make atonement for sin so the worshiper can be accepted by God. How does it proceed? First, the worshiper was to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering. What does that mean? That means it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4. Put one's hand on the head of the animal was a symbolic way of transferring sin or the guilt of sin to the animal, which was killed in the sinner's place. Secondly, the blood of the sacrifice was to sprinkle on the altar. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5 and 11. The blood was proof of the death of the victim, and the death was necessary if forgiveness for sin was to be granted. Maybe you ask, what are the sacrifices on the altar? A contingent upon the worshipper's financial condition. It's pretty good, huh? It's very practical. If you are rich, from the herd, you're middle class, from the flock. If you are very poor, use the birds. So it's very fair. You can all offer burnt offering to God. In the book Leviticus, another offering is called sin offering. The root meaning of the Hebrew words atonement for sin is cleansing. When we sin, we need to be cleansed, right? I just wonder, this might be a personal question. How often do you take shower? Wow, you're cleansed every day. Also, why do you take shower? Huh? Smell better, huh? If you don't take shower for a while, you don't take bath for a while, what it will be? Huh? Relax. Oh. You might be relaxed. Your spouse don't feel relaxed. Well, the sin offering is to help us to cleanse from the sin. Just like you take a shower as often as you can. Everybody's different. We have a water shortage, right? So if by God's grace we got some rain, right, last year, thank God. If it continue like that, we probably all will be very smelly because we don't have water. It doesn't matter how clean you want to be. Well, the sin offering, when people sin, they not only insult God, they also pollute the land. Is that interesting, huh? So need to be cleansed. Therefore, sin offering not only atone for the sin, but also cleanse the worshiping place so God's presence can be at the place and resume the fellowship with people. So when we come to the Lord, when we worship Him, even just now, we confess our sin to the Lord. Amen? The Lord can cleanse us. So His presence will be here. Amen? Otherwise, it's just a religious activity. Amen? It's wonderful that our sin being cleansed. King David talked about that in Psalm 32, verse 1. How blessed is a man's sin be cleansed. Amen? Also, the sin offering is for those sin intentionally, and that's what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, such as, unintentionally, such as unintentionally touching something ceremonially unclean, talking a wrong or meaningless oath, That's about the sin offering. Unintentionally, you sin something you even didn't know. You come to the Lord, ask the Lord to cleanse you. Perhaps you ask, what are the function of this sacrifice? What are the effect of this sacrifice? Does it really work? Then we go to the book of Hebrew, chapter 10, verse 1 to 14. There are comments on this. First, he says the sacrifice is a shadow of the future fulfillment. Hebrew chapter 10, verse 1 reads, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. Therefore, offering a sacrifice is a symbolic for singing of the coming Messiah, who will complete redemptive works. In other words, it's a shadow. It's a foreseeing the coming things. Is that interesting, right? A lot of people, I don't know how do you feel. I feel when I share with some believers, when they just came to the Lord, they start to read the Bible. They usually start with the book of Genesis. By certain book, they stop. They didn't understand. Book of Leviticus, book of Numbers, they don't understand. Because there are so many profound meaning. A lot of people think, oh, Old Testament is old, it's over. You know, it's why do we need to study Old Testament? But Old Testament is very profound. How many of you know what is the threat from the New Testament, Old Testament, Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation? What is the threat? If you want to know the Bible, what is the threat? It's Jesus Christ. If you go to study the Old Testament, they all foreshadow, foreseeing the coming Messiah in every ways. Also, you study the Old Testament, it's a progressive, you know, gradually to reveal Christ himself in the offering, in the sacrifices, also foreshadow the coming Messiah, his redemptive works. From that perspective, you start to see it's very relevant. And the book of Hebrews is like a commentary, the certain part commentary on the all the offerings. So the first comment is the sacrifice just a foreshadow of the future fulfillment. The second comment about sacrifice, the sacrifice cannot be atoned for the sin. Hebrew chapter 10, verse 1b to 2. For this reason, it can never by the same sacrifice repeat endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So in other words, it's symbolic, cannot cleanse the sin. It's just foreshadow the coming. So why should the people in the old covenant to do that? Because it's very funny. When you offer sin offering, burnt offering, the function is to remind you and me, we are sinful. We need God. Is that interesting? So how can we solve the problem of sin? Then we see the God's way. God loves us very much, right? So he himself came. He offered a way called the Lamb of God. A Bible content quiz. Who say that words first? He say, behold, the Lamb of God. Who say that? There are many Johns. Which one? Jesus' cousin. That's good. That's my next point. I'm going to say that. Yes, Jesus' cousin. Well, you are a service leader. You spend time prepare. So man's way in the Old Testament through the sacrifice, through the offering, sin offering, burnt offering, it really doesn't work. So God provides a way. It's called the Lamb of God. So people will ask, how do we know who is the Lamb of God? What is the Lamb of God, right? And nowadays, there are all kinds of religion, belief. They believe this one is the one. How do we know who is the one? I'd like to share with you, the first is an objective verification. Yes, we need one. About 2,000 years ago, I'm going to share a story with you. 2,000 years ago, there was a Jewish priest whose name was Zechariah, who lived in today's Palestine. His wife's name was Elizabeth. Both of them were good people, righteous people in sight of God. That's very important. We can feel we are righteous, but in whose eyes? Amen? They were righteous in God's eyes. That's very important. Many people today, they think they are righteous only in their own eyes. How do we call that? They use marijuana. That's called self-righteous. Right? Are we tend to be self-righteous? The easy way is the conversation between the spouses. Right? You always do this. You never show love to me. On the other hand, I'm so patient with you. So what is the reality? I expect answer. How many are here? How many here are married right now? Okay, what's the reality? One party say, you never show love to me. On the other hand, I'm very patient with you. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 say, love is patient. I'm patient with you all these years. So what's the reality? What's the reality? The person who say that, does he have a lot of love? But somehow he feel he's righteous, right? The point I try to make is Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. That's very special, that they were godly people. But they have a problem. They had no children. That's a very difficult thing, particularly according to the Jewish culture. Sometimes people say because, you know, you don't have favor with the Lord, that's why you don't have children. But that's not true, right? God has a mysterious way with everybody's destiny. I met many couples, they don't have children. But I encourage them. Some of them struggle, affect their marriage. They blame each other. I say, you know, you just need to have an eternal perspective. You can have many children. You can have many spiritual children. Amen? Isn't parenting about influence? You can affect many people. You can show love to many people. Not necessarily in biological sense, but in spiritual sense. Amen? You can have many children, but however, this couple, they didn't have children. And one day, Zechariah served in the holy temple as a priest. And one day, angel Gabriel appeared to him. And he said, based upon the Bible, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you. And the many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah." So this was a very special baby, even before he came. The Lord already foretold them. Isn't that wonderful? And also, based upon the Bible, there was no such name called John before. And as a matter of fact, how many of you know the Bible that how did Zechariah respond? Did he say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, let it be"? What did he respond? How did he respond? The Bible says he didn't believe. So what's happened to him? Until when? Until the time has come, right? So dear brother and sister, what's the application of this? The application, people say, when God says something to you, you don't believe, you will become mute. It might be. Well, was he a priest? He's serving the Lord. He offering the sacrifice I mentioned just now. He's supposed to be very close to the Lord. Amen? May I ask you why Zechariah didn't believe? Do you believe in God? Last Sunday, I talked about renew the wineskin, right? One thing is about paradigm shift, about your perspective of life, about things. I mentioned about from natural to supernatural. Do you know what is supernatural? The move of God is supernatural, right? Are you with me? If you don't change your wineskin, your paradigm, your perspective of life, you're always limited by what you have. And that was the problem with Zechariah. As a priest, I've been pastor, been elder for all these years. A couple like that, they will never have kids. And now, angel came and spoke to him, and he didn't believe. It's difficult. I want to connect with each one of you. It's challenging. Think about the most difficult thing in your life. You pray to the Lord all the time. It haven't fulfilled yet. Right? I want to ask you, do you believe in that or not? If you believe, what do you base upon? Our belief, our faith in God, not based upon our faith. A lot of people have this wrong concept. I visit people, they have a cancer, you know. I pray for you and say, do you believe? He said, I believe. I said, what do you believe? What do you base upon to believe? He said, I believe what I believe. That's not faith. People say, tomorrow will be better. Why tomorrow will be better? Oh, I believe tomorrow will be better. Then your faith is based upon your belief. But your belief is in vain. May I ask you, why tomorrow can be better? Because I work hard. Maybe better. The reason tomorrow will be better because Lord is the Lord of tomorrow, right? And I believe in Him. My point is, our faith has to be based upon God's promise. Amen? Zechariah believed he's going to have a son called John. It's based upon God's promise sent through angel Gabriel. Amen? If you agree with me, I'd like you to say amen. I love African-American church. Whatever you say, they say amen. Even before you go up to the pulpit, they already say amen. That's called faith. They believe Pastor Tim will say something. He won't speak, he won't preach in Mandarin. He will preach in English. As time flew by, the baby came. He was very special. He grew up. His dress was special. His diet was special. His ministry place was special. He ministered in the wilderness. We treasure this place. We are thankful for our church new facility because we have a good location. Amen? You know, all in the business, you know, location, location, location. Our church used to be in the warehouse and behind many buildings. A church very hard to be found. Say, Pastor Joseph, why do you say that? Because God led me to, in the networking, ministry networking with many Chinese church in the Bay Area. So our church hosting many joint prayer meetings, American Return to God prayer rally in our church. You know, all those ministers, they came from different parts of the Bay Area. They all give me the same comments. Reverend Tian, your church is so hard to find. It's next to the freeway exit, but we're just very hard to find. They all get lost. So you know how tough to grow a church like that, right? Finally, they're lost. Found out a lost church. You don't get it. Maybe my humor is not westernized. Isn't the church try to reach the lost? And when those lost try to find out the church, they even cannot find the church. Because on the way to find the church, they already got lost.
Amen.
Finally, he responds. I just wonder, for all those ministers from the Bay Area, those Chinese ministers, they are very good to find a direction. Otherwise, how can they be a pastor, right? I just said, due meaning. If as a pastor, you need to know the direction, right? You had the right direction, so you lead your sheep. They even cannot find our church. How can other people find? So that's why very hard to grow. And then we move here. You know, after we move here, there are so many people walking to our church. They are not necessarily come to for the gospel, okay? They have all different kind of reason. But you can't believe how many people they saw our church and they came. So many. They saw the sign, they went back to check the website, they came. Many of them. The next service, they will show up. So location, very important. But it's very interesting. If you study John the Baptist, his ministry, his location was a wrong location. How many of you will start ministry, evangelism ministry, in Death Valley National Park? Who will be there? Serpents. Rattlesnakes. Right? That was John the Baptist. If you have God's anointing and God's call you to do that, then you can start a ministry in the wrong location. It's okay. But remember my prerequisite. Also remember, John the Baptist only ministered in the wilderness for a certain season only. Amen? That's very important. God still give us conventional wisdom, right? And say, oh, Pastor Joseph said location is not important, so I can start my business in the middle of nowhere. Well, I tell you, even how much blessing you ask me to bless you, you won't have success. Amen? But what I try to say, John the Baptist is a very different person. God used him as a forerunner for the coming Messiah. He dressed very differently. He dressed with a camel hair. You know how many of you know John the Baptist's diet? Locust. Not Chinese food, it's locust. And honey. It's very special. Because God chose him. And even more than that, John the Baptist didn't perform any sign and wonder. He didn't heal anybody. He just said, repent. Kingdom of God is near. And then he started exhorting. The Bible says they all repent. All the people in the Palestine came to him. So dear brother and sister, that really show us something, show me something. Even in the wrong location, but if you have the presence of God, people still come. Amen? Even in the right location, without God's presence, people may still come. But people come from the wrong reason. Because if God's not here, why people come? Amen? The John Baptist, his life is very special, very unusual. It's worthwhile to study. But he was preparing the way for Jesus. Long story in short. John Baptist have twofold mission. First one is to prepare people's heart. He said, repent. The kingdom of God is near. So people came to him. They get rid of sin. So their heart is softened. So when the Messiah comes, they can receive him. Secondly, John the Baptist himself didn't know who is the Christ. So God, the Father, gave him a way. He said, you start to baptize people. So every day, John the Baptist baptized people to see the sign, to verify which one is the Messiah. This is very scientific, you know. In these last days, I will warn you. A lot of people will come and say, I am the one. I am the Messiah. There will be all kind of ethnic group. Maybe a Chinese one, Korean one, whatever. But they are not the Messiah. John the Baptist, one of his job was to verify. So one day when he baptized Jesus, the heaven was open. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, fell upon him. And there was a voice of God say, this is the one I love. Amen? So he verified Jesus was Messiah. While he can verify Jesus was Messiah, then we have to see what Jesus' work. And then we also see, how do we know who is the Lamb of God? We see Jesus' work. He complete redemptive work. I think if you compare, I prepare my sermon now, I have a dual goal. One is for the believer, one is for the seekers. For the second service, we have so many seekers. I'm very encouraged by that. There are so many people who came in the Mandarin service. They were first time attend the church. They have never attended church before. So I had to prepare something people had never heard of Christianity they can understand. You know, when you compare the different religions, you will realize Christianity is very unique. There's no such religion they will tell you how this world came from, the origin of mankind, and how it will end, right? Book of Revelation tells you how this world will end. Amen? I tell you, it's worthwhile to study Book of Revelation to have a good teaching on that right now. Because you look at the whole situation in the world. How many of you know that the whole Europe is very nervous right now? The whole Europe. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? Particularly Western Europe. It seems like overnight it's under grip of terrorist attack. But that's a psychological warfare. But on the other hand, those terrorist groups, they may plan already for a long time. I think the Europe government or European churches had to face a reality with a large population of Muslims in their nation, how they will deal with them. Amen? The thing changed very fast. But when you compare the Christianity with other religion, you will realize this, if I don't believe in this, but this is a very precious religion. It talks about how the mankind start, how it end. Also, it talks about their founder of the religion who die, bury, and resurrect. That's very special. No other religion mentioned about their founder like that. That's worthwhile to study. And that shows Jesus' complete redemptive work, because he died, he buried, and resurrect again. And nowadays, many people have near-death experience. They die, they came back again. But the problem is, they die again. Do you see the point? So what's the point? You die twice. Tai mafan. You have to die twice. Do you understand what I say? But Jesus died, buried, and resurrect again. And that resurrect, not again, resurrect, and he never die again. He complete redemptive work. Anybody say amen? Like a brother? We need to learn from the other culture. Their strength, we just learned that. Because when you say amen, when you're engaged, you're excited about God's work. Jesus completed the redemptive work. Jesus was verified by John the Baptist. He was the one. Also, the Hebrew chapter 10, verse 10 to 12 and 14 say, this redemptive work is once for all and has eternal effect. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Wonderful. That's good. Still have the sounds like amen. Can I try something? I say hallelujah. You guys say amen. We'll see whose voice louder. Okay? Be ready. Hallelujah! Because Jesus completed the redemptive work. And the once for all. I think in the ancient time, it's very difficult, you know. You're rich, you take the offering, sacrifice from the herd. I'm middle class and low income. But you had to do that again and again for the priest to do that, to remind you to cleanse your sin for now. But today, we have Jesus at once for all. So what's the lesson for us? Lesson number one, the Lamb of God is the only way for mankind's redemption. John 14, Verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. But this statement, a lot of seekers, a lot of non-believers, they don't like it. Dear brothers and sisters, one sign about the end time is people will come out and say there are many ways. There are many ways. From time to time, I try to share gospel with people. They say, why Christianity is so narrow-minded? Why Jesus is the only way? Dear brother and sister, if you have some kind of terminal illness, you're looking for looking for the remedy, looking for being cured, and the doctor wrote a prescription, you need to eat this and do that, will you tell the doctor, say, why you are so narrow-minded? Why you only tell me this way only? Amen? The Lord give us the way is the way to save us, redeem us, resolve the issue of sin. There's a rule for that. Because there's a consequence of sin is death, separation. There's an effect of sin is defile, pollute us. We have a shame and guilt. Amen? So God offer ways of someone to die in our place to cleanse our sin. And that's the only way. And that person needs to be sinless. And God cannot find, so he himself can. Is that clear to you? It's very simple, logically. Secondly, I think the lesson is everyone needs to experience the redemptive work of the Lamb of God. Dear brother and sister, this is very important. From time to time, I ask people, have you been born again? You know, their answer was, I've been baptized 15 years. I have attended church 20 years. That's not my point. I say, have you been born again? Have you really have a new birth? Have you really have the new life from the Lord? That's me. You and I need to experience the Lamb of God's redemptive works. It's so wonderful. That redemption have a effect, have function. First of all, our sin has been forgiven. It's so wonderful that you truly experience your sins being pardoned, being forgiven. All the world religion, they try so hard to deal with issue. In essence, they all try to do good works. You don't believe me? You go to study. All the religion, other than Christianity, they have no... Like I talked to some Buddhists. Say, how do you guys deal with sin or wrong things? They say, we try to do the good works. I say, does it work? He say, we don't know. You just try your best. You do as many good deeds as possible. Hopefully. But dear brothers and sisters, sin is a spiritual thing. Do you know that? It's not just a moral thing. It's a spiritual thing. When we sin, there's something happen in you, in the environment, particularly in our spirit. Amen? That's why we need a sin offering. They say try to cleanse, sanctify the land. I want to ask all of you a question. This is not a tricky one. When a person sin, who suffers the most? Well, depends. If you are the victim, then you say, I suffer the most. But objectively speaking, do you know who suffered the most? The person. Yeah, Jesus suffered a lot too. But the sinner himself suffered the most. Because sin has effect upon a person. You feel guilt. Feel guilty. You feel shame. But we need to experience that redemptive work so the Lord will, our sin will be forgiven. And secondly, our shame can be removed. In the Psalm 32, verse 1, I mentioned earlier, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The sin has been covered there. It's not covered up. It's mean the blood of Jesus will cover your sin, so your shame will be removed, right? When Adam and Eve, they ate forbidden fruits, what did they do? They feel shameful. So what's happened? When God wants to take a walk with them, they hit themselves. And they say, we found ourselves are naked. They were naked before. They were okay. But why they suddenly feel naked is shameful. Because they sin. Amen? But when we experience Christ's redemptive work, our sin can be removed. It's so wonderful. Amen? You can meditate on my words, right? Your sin being forgiven, your shame being removed, and finally, experience the Lamb of God redemptive work as we become the children of God. This is so important. This deals with the identity. It deals with the self-worth. Dear brothers and sisters, we all struggle with the issue of self-esteem, self-worth. We constantly to assure we are worthy by our accomplishment, by how much we own, how many things we own, how much we accomplish, how many things we accumulate. Amen? We don't say that, but we do that. Even in the kingdom of God, even in the church, even in the religious organization, people still use that. May I ask you a question? Do you know, I'm going to Lin Liang Pastor's winter retreat tomorrow. Do you know when the pastor come together, do you know what they're talking about? They don't talk about, you know, how intimate are you with Jesus. No. No, they don't talk about golfing. No, we are not that privileged to play golf. We are not that carnal. Do you think when pastor together, they will say, how many times you fast? No, they don't talk about that. They talk about building, church building. They talk about size of the congregation. That's human nature, right? If I don't know who I am, I'm not secure with my self-worth, I will continue to compare with people. You can deny it. You still, even in your denial, you still play that game, right? I'm more spiritual. I read Bible 5 times a week. This guy only read the Bible once a long while. I'm spiritually mature. I have faith in the Lord. This guy doesn't have faith at all. We like to compare because we don't know who we are. Even we know in our head, we don't believe it, right? But if you really experience the redemptive work of the Lamb of God, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. That new creation, including a new identity. Dear brother and sister, it's so crucial. If you really believe and start to exercise and live out, say, you are a child of God. I realized that a person's self-worth is really contingent upon how much love that person receives. The problem is, there are not much true love in this world. There are many words of love in this world, but not many true love. And God offering love is unconditional. That's very hard. There's no unconditional love in this world. Everything's conditional. Also, I want to tell you something I found out. Dear brother and sister, if you haven't heard anything, write down this one. There's no free lunch. It's just a matter of who paid the price. Any free lunch? No. Even salvation is not free. Jesus paid the price. Amen? So hear what I say. Jesus had done the priceless thing for you and me. It's not free. He paid with his life, suffering, Lamb of God. We need to enter that reality. You and I are the children of God. We need to start experience his love in this community. I want you to join me. We build a kingdom culture community. Amen? First, start with the truly born again, a new life. This is not a religious activity. If this is just a religious activity, it's very heavy. It's boring. But if this is a relationship with God, it's so exciting. Because we can be transformed every time. We've been discipled. We follow Jesus. Our attitude, our perspective start to be changed. Amen? May God help us. Let's all arise and we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. I proclaim your word by faith. May the Spirit continue to move and work in our life to give us desire to know Jesus more. We know him so little. He's so beautiful, so powerful, and that he is the eternal Lamb of God who take away our sin and guilt and shame and grant us status as the children of God. How wonderful. And let us have that journey to know what does that mean to be children of God. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We conclude our worship here.